Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here today. Beautiful Sabbath day that we have here. This is the last of the four series about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done for us. The last time I talked about Jesus, the great encourager, that Jesus offers hope. He offers help in our daily walk with him. We looked at several aspects of the Holy Spirit of God. And today we're going to look at more of those, of the great gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ, through his Father, is sent to us. It's important that God's children know about the Holy Spirit and his role that he plays in each one of our lives, each of our daily lives, to see that because we are the temple of the living God. And as children of God, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. So let's just have a word of prayer as I get to start. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. Open our hearts for the Spirit of God so that he may live within us. Oh, that one day soon God's children will see their Savior. Help us that each one of us are there to meet on a sea of glass, to be presented to the Father by our Savior, to sit down at the banquet table on that eighth day, and to see the King at the head of the table. Help us once again that we may be there and that the Holy Spirit will guide us through this life here on this earth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we see that Jesus was still teaching valuable truths to his disciples as they left the upper room on their way to Gethsemane. You can read that in John 16, because that's what we'll be looking at most of the time today, is John chapter 16. So if you could turn to there. Because of the distress of the disciples being upset at the notion that Jesus was going to leave them, they're going to be taken from him, that he gave the truths contained in chapters 14 through 16 of John. There's chapters that we should read time and time again to see that and to have that encouragement ourselves in our lives. To encourage them and to comfort them concerning the future. He was not going to leave them in the dark, and he will not leave us in the dark today either. So that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. In this these passages, Jesus is telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit, his promise that when he goes away, he will deliver to them that great gift, which we know to be the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We can look at these verses and see the portrait of Jesus. As you see, the emphasis today, though, is on that great gift, the Holy Spirit, that we truly need to know, which is free. Free for the asking. We're going to able to see that great worth as it tells about us in verse 7 there in chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus told his disciples that it was expedient for him to go away. And the word simply means that it was best for Jesus to leave them at that time. And we wonder why that would happen, why it was even possible. But we need to understand the worth of the great gift. We must first understand something about Jesus' nature. So we're going to look at to consider the following under that. The personality of that great gift. Notice that the Spirit of God is a He, not an it. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son, and as much God as they are. 1 John 5:7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. He states in his status as a person is further illustrated by the Bible's use of pronouns referring to the Holy Spirit. We can look at John 16, 7 and 8 there. As I already said, the 7 about the expedient to go. In verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verses 13 through 15. Howbeit, when he is the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And then in chapter 14, which I did read the last time that I was up here, John 14, verses 16 through 18, where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Look at every instance of he or him in these verses. And there are other truths that let us know that the Holy Spirit is a person. He can be grieved, as it says in Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that word grieve just means to make sad or sorry. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, where it says, quench not the Holy Spirit. As quench means to put out a fire. But I pray that that fire that we have in our hearts are never put out. It burns continually. He can be lied to. I know many times that I lied to my parents, and I always got caught. And I knew what the punishment was coming. But I don't know. Just being a child, the way I was, rowdy as I was, I just continued to do that, even though I knew the punishment was coming. That is told in Acts 5, 1 through 11. We won't look at that, but that's a story of Ananias and Sapphira, where they left back the money that they gained from selling. That John 14, 16, Jesus refers to the Spirit as another comforter, as I've already read. The word another refers to the one of the same kind or quality. It applies a state of equality and sameness. And this is what the Holy Spirit is to the Godhead. According to John 15, 26, if we can maybe look there, John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. See that? And then chapter 16, 13, and 14, as I've read before, I won't read that again, but you can write that down. Chapter 16, 13, and 14, about the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit never promotes himself. He always promotes God the Father, God, or Jesus. He has the sole business of pointing people to Jesus. I sometimes wonder when we do get to heaven, what will the Holy Spirit look like? What will be his function then as part of the Godhead? But I guess we'll have to wait until we get there to find out, to see that. We know that there is power in that great gift that God has given to us. He's called by the name Comforter. And I pray that he's able to comfort each and every one of us, especially in a time of our sadness. That word comes from the Greek, and it refers to an assistant or a helper, or one who comes alongside of another to offer aid. We know that he comes alongside us to offer aid to us. here in this sin-cursed earth. We know that it is absolutely impossible to live the Christian life without the working of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. We know that there's a permanence of the Holy Spirit, of that great gift. According to the Bible, the Spirit of God comes into our life at the moment of conversion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we'll be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And he'll never leave us. John 14:16, which I've already read. There is a work of the great gift. Verses 7 through 15 there in chapter 16. Where he tells his disciples it's expedient for him to go away so that the Comforter can come and do his work. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. We're told of the Spirit's restraining ministry. In John 3:5, we are told of the Spirit's regenerating ministry. And in these verses also, we are told about the Spirit's reproving ministry. The great gift in the lives of sinners, which we all are. But we truly are thankful that we can have the Holy Spirit living within us. In relation to those outside of Jesus, the Spirit of God performs a twofold work. He convicts, he points out wrong and sin. He convinces, he points a lost person towards the truth. He reveals the truth of God to hearts that have never been opened to it through the ministry of conviction. This ministry includes conviction and convincing in the areas of sin, which we know that we all live in. The Holy Spirit convinces and convicts the lost sinners of their sinfulness. He makes Romans 3:23 and 3:10 real to the hearts of the sinners and points out their sin. Of righteousness, the Holy Spirit convicts the lost person of the need to get right with God. He produces in the hearts of the lost a deep-seated feeling of filthiness. And we felt that too. And many times we still feel our filthiness. We feel the filthy rags still upon our backs, which the Lord Jesus Christ will take and put upon himself for each and every one of us. We know that the Holy Spirit is active in the lives of unbelievers, but he is so very active in the life of believers, in God's people. There are several ministries that the Holy Spirit conducts in each one of our lives. Indwelling, that's how I already spoken, that he lives within us, John 14:17. He lives inside of the child of God. But we have to be able to accept him to make sure that we allow him to be active in our lives. He will do it willingly, We have to be willing. Just like God, He will not force nothing upon us. Instructing, John 16:13, also have read today. He is present to give direction in the way of God, the will of God, and the word of God. We pray that we will listen to His calling. He's infilling. He will fill us with that knowledge that we need. Ephesians 5, verse 18, if you would turn to there. Ephesians 5. And verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires to fill our lives with His presence and the power so that we can do abundant and glorious things for the Lord. We know that we don't have to do it ourselves because we can't do it ourselves. We need help. We have to realize that. He's an enabling comforter too. Acts 1:8. What transformed the disciples from a group of terrified men hiding in an upper room into a group of men who took the world by storm? We know that it is the power of the Holy Spirit. He is also encouraging to each and every. John 14:18. The Spirit of God carries out a blessed ministry of encouragement in the lives of God's children. And I pray that He's working in each one of our lives this morning. We wonder how that is possible. He is ever with us. Hebrews 13:5. If we will look to that, Hebrews 13:5, our scripture meditation today. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. But He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. And we're told that He will be with us until the end in Matthew 28:20. He even keeps us in our prayer life in Romans 8:26 and 27. Then we can see the wonder of the great gift of the Holy Spirit, as we read John 14:16-18. The fact that the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift should be abundantly clear by now. However, I need to point out three great truths that illustrate the wonders of the great gift. The wonder lies in His presence in our lives, as I read in verse 17. Just the simple truth that every child of God is a living, breathing temple of God is astounding. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Maybe we ought to look there. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Yes, we truly know that we are not our own. Just a simple truth that every child of God, as I said, is a living, breathing temple is astounding. There should be to each and every one of us. The wonder lies in a permanence in our lives also, in verse 16. Once a person is saved by the grace of God, the Spirit takes up residence in each one of our lives. Ephesians 4:30. The wonder lies in His performance in our lives. Verse 16 also. We know that the Holy Spirit is the most understood, most neglected, and most frequently ignored member of the Godhead. Yet as far as our day-to-day lives are concerned, He is most active in our lives and the one in whom we can turn to, the one that we are most dependent upon. So I pray that we have him living in our lives. I'm going to be done here early today. I don't know if I got done this quick. Everything went fast today. So it did. Unless you want me to talk until 1 o'clock. We don't have potluck today or nothing, so that's... But as we look at this and come to an end, did this message come to you while you're struggling in sin? If it has, we know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Are you and I saved or feel saved, but living in our own power and energy? We have to challenge ourselves to confess our sins to the Lord. Many times it's not easy for some of us to do that. He will forgive each one of us, and he will use us again for his glory. You feel saved, but you're still struggling with the difficulties and burdens of life. We know that life is not getting any better. Things are going downhill fast. To show and prove to us that the Lord is coming soon, that we need to be ready, each and every one of us. We need to challenge ourselves so that we lay our burdens before the Lord, who cares for us, who will come alongside each of us in the power, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to help each one of us through the difficult times. I didn't bring it up at pastoral prayer, but my leg was hurting me, my back, and all the times before that. I didn't know whether he was going to do that, but all the other times in the last couple of months that I've been up here, while I've been up here, the pain has been gone. So I'm able to stand up here without pain. And he did that for me again, this, even though I had that pain before I started. I don't have any pain right now. And I thank God for that. Yes, our Jesus. He is a great soul winner. He is the great physician, the great encourager, and a great gift giver. Because he has given us everything, not just the Holy Spirit, but he has given us life eternal so that we will be with our Lord and Savior for eternity. This is Jesus Christ, our Savior, Redeemer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh yes, all other ground is sinking sand. We need you, Jesus, the solid rock. We thank you, Lord, today for this Sabbath, that we could come here and worship you in peace and unmolested. We ask you now, go with each one of us, and we go to our separate ways, go our homes, and our coming in and our going out. We ask you, Lord, to be with us this coming week, and the prayer that's on our lips, that you're soon coming. We are tired, Lord, of this world. We're just pilgrims passing through, but we look for a better land, a land that flows with milk and honey. And Jesus will be there. He'll be there. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. We ask you now, Lord, in all these things, in Jesus' precious name, amen.